up here and preach to y'all. I know some of y'all. I've heard of some of y'all. And I appreciate this church. Brother Sellers, I appreciate your confidence to call me up here and allow me. And I'm as nervous as I can be. I'm even more nervous now than I am Sunday mornings. Y'all talking about children. Our first one, Erica, she was one of those kids that never did anything wrong. She was always well-behaved, never had to get on to her. We thought, well, this is a breeze. Then we had number two. He almost broke us. And then came three, four, five. And we thought we were done. Then the Lord just started passing others to us. We had two more after that that he gave us. But they're a blessing. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. I had something else I thought I was going to talk about today, but the Lord had other plans. He put this on my mind. I ran across something I'd like to bring out today. Mark chapter 1. We're just going to read a few verses. In verse 32 is where we're going to start. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. At even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that we can go to. I thank you, Lord, that we can always rely on it. It always speaks to us, and we can learn and draw closer to you. I ask, Father, that you help me today. Help me to be clear and precise with what you have on my heart and my mind. Help me to say what I need to, the way I need to say it. Holy Spirit would just guide and direct everything I do. Open our hearts up to be receptive to what you'd have to say to us today. Just help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, a lot of times we see here that Jesus has started his ministry, as we know. He's called his disciples. He's gone out. He started doing some healing, started casting out demons. He's starting to have an effect in the neighborhood. We see where he goes off into Capernaum here. He goes to Peter's house, finds Peter's wife sick of fever, raises her up. People have noticed something is different. They've had the scribes, they've had the Pharisees. That's the authority they've had in their lives up to that time, the authority they had under the law to teach them how bad they are and how bad they need something else. But somebody different's come along, somebody with an authority, somebody that spoke a way they never heard, somebody that spoke out against the scribes and the Pharisees, the only authority they've known, somebody who knew that word that was being taught to them, who knew the law better than the ones who were teaching them the law. All right, so Jesus come along and they've seen something different. But what stands out here to me, I want to look at verse 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. It was at even as the sun did set. That's normally when everybody's going home. In the Bible days, that's where they would go home. They would kick back their feet. They'd relax. The day was over at even. Their day just now getting started. We look on down there later, the whole town was coming out. Something's different. Something has changed. There's a man in town they've got to go see. They have problems. They have needs. They have something in their life been neglected. They've got people possessed with devils. I'm going to tell you, that's around today too. I believe it with all my heart. We can see it. But there's something going on here at even when the sun did set. I ran across an article. I want to read y'all just some of this, if you don't mind. This was signed on February 4th. And if you don't believe that today we're coming up on the time of even, the end of times, the time when the sun is setting, listen to this article. Signed on the 4th of February. This article is written on the 5th. The Pope and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar have signed a historic declaration of fraternity, calling for peace between nations, religions, races in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths. Pope Francis, the leader of the world's Catholics, and Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayeb, the head of the Sunni Islam's most prestigious seat of learning, arrived at the ceremony in Abu Dhabi, get it out right, hand in hand, in a symbol of interfaith brotherhood. The document signed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam was prepared, they say it was prepared with much reflection and prayer. Pope said the great danger at this moment, he continued, is destruction, war, and hatred between us. He said, if we believers are not able to shake hands, embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray, our faith will be defeated. He went on to say that this document was born of faith in God, who is the Father of all and the Father of peace. It condemns all destruction, terrorism, from the first terrorism in history, that was Cain. A lot of language went into this. And they used God as a plural God, as in the same God, Allah, and our God. They're not the same. But it drew them in together. He went on to say, we who believe in God in the final meeting with him and his judgment on the basis of our religious and moral responsibility, and through this document, call upon ourselves, upon the leaders of the world as well as the architects of international policy and world economy, to work strenuously to spread the culture of tolerance and of living together in peace, to intervene at the earliest opportunity to stop the shedding of innocent blood and bring an end to wars, conflicts, environmental decay, and the moral and cultural decline that the world is presently experiencing. On top of that document, it declares the diversity of religions and says it was willed by God. All these hundreds of different religions that's out there, they say it's of God. Let me quote, freedom is a right of every person. Each individual enjoys the freedom of belief, thought, expression, and action. The pluralism of the diversity of religions, color, sex, race, and language are willed by God. I'm going to tell you, there's homosexual churches out there. They're not willed by my God, but this says they are. It says, willed by God in his wisdom through which he created human beings. This divine wisdom is the source from which the right to freedom of belief and the freedom to be different derives. Therefore, the fact that people are forced to adhere to a certain religion or culture must be rejected. As to the imposition of a cultural way of life that others do not accept. Tell me the last days are not here. Tell me that one world religion is not knocking on the door. You got the sodomites on this side pushing an agenda. You got the baby killers on this side pushing an agenda. And now you got a one world order coming from behind with one religion pushing from behind. And my Bible tells me I'm not going to be here when the tribulation happens. But tell me the stage is not set. I read that article. First thing I did was ran outside and looked up. Listen to see what I could hear. Because it's coming. The times are here. I don't know what else is left to happen. I never thought I'd see that. You know, I've always heard all the prophecies have been fulfilled, right? What's left? Except for him to come back. Well, I've seen something else now. I never thought I'd see more stage set. There's a trumpet warming up somewhere. The sun's setting on this world. But said they came to his door. We've got doorways to our churches, doorways to our homes, where these people can come knocking. Because we've got the cure for their illness. We've got what will fix them. As the sun began to set, they were sick, they were possessed, they were brought to the only hope they could find. See, they had law in the village with them. The town had the law. The hope showed up. So we can go out here in our communities, we can go on visitation, we find people with needs. I got two young men just started in our church. They just come out of jail. They were in there together, both of them addicted to methamphetamines. They got off of robbing and stealing, doing all kinds of stuff to support the habit. Right now, they're leaning on Christ. They got saved. They said they don't want anything to do with that mess anymore. They knew something was missing in their heart. They were sick. Christ healed them. They don't want it. And they said they still have a draw at times, but there's one young man. He is something else. He gets around work, and there's some of them people around work. He's ready to quit his job just because he's working around some of them. He said, I don't want to be around it. Somebody got to him. There was something missing in their lives. The world has got something that'll fill it. We've got something that'll fill it. We need to get our filling to them. Get Christ to them so they can be filled to the brim. All the problems they've gotten, it don't mean the problems are all going to go away, but what's missing in their life, they'll find it. I I've got some different motivation. I mean, Christ saved me, and I want to serve him for that. The church, let me tell y'all, Pastor Christensen got sick. I hated to see all the things he was going through. I wanted to just, all I wanted, I asked God, just help me to be the servant I need to be to help him, to take a load off and be there for him to help the church. That's all I wanted. And then when he passed, I had a desire in my heart to pastor that church. Nowhere else, I don't want anywhere else. That church, that's where God wanted me. I couldn't figure out why he had me there to start with. And then all this started happening. They asked me to be on the pulpit committee. I accepted. And I talked to my wife. We prayed, and I talked. And she said, "You'll just take your resume in there." Nope. I wasn't going to do it. I was going to be on the pulpit committee, and whatever that church decided, I was going to go along with. I was going to pray about it and just give us a godly man, Lord. Just give us a godly man. Brother Watson tried it, and he didn't have the energy for it. Because I'm realizing, y'all, it takes a lot of energy. I didn't know how much it did take. But then we were back searching again. And I asked God, Lord, take this desire from me. Why is it there? I mean, get it from me because I know it's not going to work out. And then somebody in church came and said, "Brother, why don't you do this? Why don't you take it?" Well, now. The Lord worked it out. But I want to serve him because what he's done for me. I want to serve him because what I've seen him do for other people. There was a time in my life when I walked away, when I lived a life that wasn't what it should be. And I had some friends. I was in the military down here at Fort Stewart. And y'all know the military life is not the easiest thing to live a Christian life with. And I was driving all the way to Tennessee on weekends to go see my friends. Two friends up there in particular, living a life that was not right. I know I was saved because every time the Holy Spirit would tell me, "Don't go." When I was making the plans, he would tell me, "Don't do it." When I'd be in the action of whatever it was, he'd tell me, "You know you shouldn't be doing this." And when I'd get done, he'd tell me, "You know you shouldn't have. Come back." But these two friends I had, there was three of us total. There was three young men watching us. One of my friend's younger brothers, two of them, and then their friend. They wanted to be like us. They did everything they could to live the life we lived. I finally quit going up there, and I stayed down here at base. Me and my wife were settling in down here. And I got a call. One of those young men was gone. They said he'd gotten an argument with his girlfriend and got a motel room. They said they thought he was trying to gain sympathy from her and do a fake suicide, try to attempt it to draw her attention. Called her up and said, "I'm going to hang myself." And when they got to the motel, they found him hanging by the neck from the shower head with his belt. They think he slipped and accidentally killed himself. But when I went up there, here's this young man living a life of the devil. There's not a doubt in my mind I was in hell today. It's 1989. No breaks. No vacations. And I believe there's going to be a day he's going to stand at his judgment. And I'm going to stand beside his judge, my Savior. And when he's being cast into hell for that last time, into that lake of fire, I believe he's going to look at me. And he's going to ask me, "What did you do?" His name is Aaron. I don't plan on there being any more Aarons in my life. One is too many. All I want to do is get the gospel to him. To help the ones that are sick, crippled, and in need find that hope. Where they won't have a need for drugs. They won't have a need for attempt suicide. They won't have a need for the things the world has to offer for them. Because it's got all kind of things for them. They've got counselors that'll tell them all kind of ungodly things to do. Me and my wife, it was Cody, my 16-year-old boy. He's about, 6'2" and full of himself. He's in judo and ROTC, loving life. When my wife was expecting him, they did them a genetic test on him. And they told us, you know, there's a really strong chance this boy's going to have a good case of Down syndrome. They wanted us to go to Savannah for what they call genetic counseling. I didn't know what that was. Well, I took off work. Me and the wife went to Savannah. You know what their genetic counseling was? They put us in a room about that big. Closed the door and they said, well, you know you don't have to have this baby. What? Yeah, we do. Lord gave him to us. However he comes out, he's ours. But that's the world's answer. And that's nothing but an entrance. A hollow spot. Something against God. They were possessed. Darkness had fallen. And I believe there's all kind of demonic influences behind the things out there in this world. Hey, you take any one of these substances these people are using, there's a force behind it. It changes their attitudes. It changes their bodies to where they're dependent on this stuff. I'm going to tell you, I had an infection a couple of weeks ago that was pretty painful. I went to the emergency room. Well, I went to the doctor's office. They sent me to the emergency room. First thing they did, give me a shot of fentanyl. Then they flushed that with saline. Then they gave me a shot of, Tramadol. And then they flushed it with saline. Well, let's start taking the edge off the pain. Then they sent me home with antibiotics and more pills of that Tramadol. Well, I've hurt, so I took them, a couple of them, little. First night, I slept a little bit that second night, that second day and that second night. Boy, it's just rough. I could not sleep that night. And y'all call me crazy if you want to, but I was laying in bed having a fitful night. I opened my eyes up and almost hit my wife because in front of my face was a shadowy, the only way I can describe it, looked like a demonic, shadowy face in front of me, with eye to eye with me. I about jumped out of bed swinging. Well, I said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't want any more of them pills. Y'all don't keep them things. The world's got stuff out there. These people need what we have. Hope. Look here. As the darkness falls, as the sun is setting, we got somewhere they can gather. Verse 33 there it says, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Now I can imagine the crowd. Can you imagine the crowd they had? We don't have that kind of crowd in Waycross yet. We're working on it. But I'd love to have it. All the city gathered at the door. They've heard about the hope. That's too many times. You know, we get busy in life. Boy, I'm busy. But I want to always be able to share that hope. That'll draw them to the door. I got to tell y'all about some fellas I work with. I'm pastoring, but I also have a job, a full-time job besides that, and I'm staying busy. But God has blessed me. I drove a truck. I was an over-the-road truck driver. And the guy that I work for, I've been with him almost 14 years now. When I told him, boss, I think I'm going to have to quit. The church is talking about calling me the pastor, and if they do it, I'm going to accept. He said, well, you just come talk to me if they do that. I went and talked to him when they did, and I accepted. I went and said, boss, I'm going to have to leave you. He said, no, sir, you're not. You turn that truck in to me. I'm going to give back every penny of escrow you've got, and I'm going to put you in an office. He gave me a management position in back office. I need to come in a week later, and he's talking to me, and he says, how many kids you got at home? Well, right now, I started counting up. He threw a $100 bill on the desk. He goes, feed him a good supper. The next week, the same thing, another $100 bill on the desk. Then the next week, he comes in and says, how much gas you burn over? Burn a couple of tanks. He said, how about I give you a free tank of gas each week? Yes, sir. Amen. He said, you just come get a credit card from me each week when you need it, and I'll fill it up for you. Next week, or about 2 weeks, I guess, went by. He said, how about the two tanks? Will that help you out? Yes, sir. Then he come back a couple of weeks later, how about a $50 a week pay raise? Well, yes, sir, that'll work. And it just kept on going. He come in about 3 weeks ago, threw a set of keys on the desk, gave me a new pickup truck. So he gave me transportation, gave me gas for it, all the maintenance for it, the insurance is paid for it, and then turned around and gave me a $50 a week pay raise on my salary. And then said, I know you got a lot going on at that church, but if you need to leave, you go. I don't have a time clock. I show up and leave. Now, God tells me to do it right. So my hours are 8 to 5. I show up at 7. And I'm usually there at 7 in the evening. But he also lets me stay there. I don't have to drive the way across the study. Kids go crazy at home. I can sit in class here right there in my office. They'll lock it up, set the alarms, and leave me in there. And I can study all night long if I want to. I've been over there before 11 o'clock at night, and mechanics will call me up. Well, I didn't know. We see you're still here. Yeah, I'm here. Just me and God. I was out. One of my jobs is to keep track of trucks and trailers. I was out checking on trucks and trailers one day, riding a golf cart around the back lot. And one of our mechanics saw me. And I, you know, waved at him as I went by. And the next day, I rode by, around doing the same thing. He's over there working on about the same piece of equipment. He looked up and saw me. I smiled and waved at him and kept on doing my job. One of the other mechanics said, Brother Alberto needs to see you. What about it? He said, he's under conviction. God is dealing with him. So I went and found Alberto, and Alberto says, I'm telling you, it's my time. Your time. He said, yes, sir. I feel this heavy weight I've got to get rid of. And every time that weight would hit me, I'd look up, and there you are riding by on the golf cart, just as happy and smiling and waving. He said, I've got to get with you. So we go to the driver's lounge, sit down. I'm sharing Romans Road with him. Another driver walks in. He's standing there listening to the entire Romans Road. Listen to Alberto bow his head, accept Christ as his Savior. Listen to me give him 1 John 1:9. Talk to him about how God is good. God will take care of you. Life ain't going to be easy, but God will take care of you. I looked at this driver and said, don't you want Christ? Oh, I got to go home. I got to go. But God's going to work on him too. But I've watched God save, I lost count. There's 7 or 8 of them at that shop that's accepted Christ now. I've gotten to baptize several of them. I've watched the daughter get saved to one of them. She just had a baby. The mama got saved. All they need, that hope. They need to see it on their face. They need to see it on their lives. And they'll come to the borders. I go out to the houses. You know how you do visitation, right? Hello. I'm from Ware Baptist Church. Just want to invite you to church. That just brings them in, don't it? They're having a hard day. And you show up just smiling, enjoying yourself, just glad to be there. Because you've got something they need. Got a hope. I've got a hope that fills them inside where nothing else will. The world will turn them to drugs. The world will turn them to alcohol. The world will turn them to themselves. Tell them they need counselors and psychiatrists and all this. When all they need is that hope. Sun setting in this world. Christ will fix it. There's a lot of them running out of opportunities. They're running out of chances. Because the world's knocking them back. Trying to get them involved every way they can. Satan wants to hold on to all he can with them. He's going to push everything he can towards them. The young generation, they've got so much on them now. I thought, you know, looking back at my childhood and teen years, that I had all kind of temptations. These kids, they are starting earlier than we ever thought of in the sin. And the temptations that's pushed at them. The schools are pushing it at them. The teachers are pushing it at them. Liberal society is pushing the youth to be as worldly as they can. They're a weirdo now if they accept Christ. They're oddball if they go to church. I got to see when we were in Blackshear working with the youth. Had several young men come through that answered the call to preach. I got to see one of them here a while back. He came and visited us at church. He's in Kentucky with his family in the ministry. He's working a bus ministry. He's working a youth ministry. And every chance he gets, winning souls. He told me, he said, well, I feel like I need to come back to Waycross. Come on back. We got a place for you, brother. Come on back. They need to see that hope. The hope that the world doesn't have, that only Christ has. But sellers.